Hello and welcome back to the Elite Takeover podcast. Today we are looking at NXT Halloween Havoc, the 28th of October edition. I am your host Aiden, and as always I am joined by
Raf.
Hello Raf, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Very spookled by the Halloween Havoc edition.
Yes, I'm going to have nightmares.
Spooky, spooky, but of course, before we get started on Halloween Havoc, we should do the quick plugs. You can find us on major podcast homes. Give us a download, a subscribe, give us a 5-star review. All of it would be really helpful. Also find us on YouTube under the Elite Takeover. Again, subscribe, like, comment, all the normal stuff would be great. Find us on Twitter at Elite Takeover YT and on Instagram at the Elite Takeover. Follow us on all of those and keep up to date with what's going on with us. It'd be absolutely amazing if you could, but let's get going with Halloween Havoc. This was a very good show. I'm not going to lie. This was a very good show, and I'm glad. But typically, we're more AEW people than we are NXT people, and I'm very glad we decided to watch this first.
Yeah.
This was a really fun, exciting show tonight. Really cool set. The big pumpkin.
Big pumpkin. Apparently, I can't speak.
Yeah, pumpkin. The big pumpkin. The little cemetery they had on the side.
Yeah, the graveyard.
And then the set they had around the back. It was a very nice little design they did for the place.
Yeah,
it made it feel like a really big deal, and they treated it like a big deal.
Yeah, it was literally like no expenses. Like cut short.
Yeah, no, they did a good job with it. They really did. Start things off. You see Shotzi standing up, like she's gonna set herself on fire, trying to chop her limbs off.
Yes.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see Shotzi a little bit more during the night. Maybe a little bit of an effect. Obviously, she got involved in the main event slightly, but it would have been nice to see her have a little bit more of an effect.
Yeah.
And like, we'll talk about it now. The stipulations that they chose weren't necessarily the most exciting things.
No.
Because it was kind of stuff that we're used to seeing.
Kind of disappointed me a tiny bit on that level.
Especially since they were teasing like casket matches, all these really big things. And like Buried Alive and all this stuff,
and it's like more of the same,
but we essentially got a Falls Count Anywhere match and a TLC match,
which
is fine. They did, I'm not saying the matches were bad
at all,
but maybe don't tease it so big if you're not going to do it. I especially find it weird they didn't do the I so thought they were going to do the Shotzi's Choice match.
Oh yeah,
because that was one of the options, and Shotzi, that would have been like for the main event, for the women's match.
Yeah,
that probably would have had a nice choice. But we get started with Gargano taking on Priest for our opening contest. Priest gets played to the ring by a guitarist, apparently from the Silencer or something, I think.
Okay.
I don't know who that is personally. Mm-hmm. He had a very nice guitar. It was nice and green. He could play the guitar. He could play the guitar very well.
Yeah, no, it is.
Priest was rocking out in his all black attire, looking like a vampire.
Yeah.
I imagine that's what he was supposed to be dressed as. I couldn't really tell. He was just kind of dressed like Damian Priest, to be honest.
That's what I was going to say.
But he always looks like a vampire.
Yeah.
Johnny Gargano comes out and he breaks everyone's heart.
Yeah.
It's worse than Bailey. He comes out, he slashes the pumpkin, he breaks
really
the pumpkin.
Really sweet, cute pumpkin, he just slashes it.
It's very sad. Very sad, but Johnny is dressed as Jack Skellington from Night for Christmas, which is awesome.
It's incredible.
It was lovely to see. They come to the ring, and then Shotzi spins the wheel to make the deal, and it is a Devil's Playground match, aka a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Things started off pretty simple in the ring. Priest, at the start of the match, Priest was on top a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of what you'd expect, really. Gargano being more scared and trying to run away from Priest, getting slight disadvantage, but nothing too much. There was a cool spot right at the beginning where Johnny tried to go for the slingshot DDT, but Priest just catches him. It was very nice. Johnny goes to go and get a weapon, gets a kendo stick out, goes to thinking he has the upper ground, ready to go and take out Priest with the kendo, but Priest flips out the nightstick.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it was a nice little way to show that off, and had like a nightstick versus kendo show off little sword fight.
He's scared Johnny a lot.
We go into the Abba break, but the only three of them having the Abba break, which I enjoy a lot, was the pumpkin got revenge. The pumpkin ate Johnny Gargano.
Yes. Johnny fell on top of the fabric of the pumpkin and just gets rolled up in it.
Yeah. It's all rolled up
and just Priest just kicking him
yeah.
a lot, and him still just like all caught up in the pumpkin.
Yeah. Johnny managed to get a little bit of an advantage back then, get back in the ring. There's another cool spot where Johnny tries to go for an enziguri onto Damian Priest, but Damian manages to get the nightstick from out of nowhere and just smacks Johnny, which is really nice. A sliced bread on the outside onto the stairs, which was brutal.
I still can't believe that's the name of the move. I love it.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's a really cool movie. It was very nasty.
Yeah, it was a really nice spot. Not something I would have seen particularly. Because usually the sliced bread is usually used from, they usually use the ropes as like leverage.
Okay.
So it's typically where you walk up the ropes and go over the top. That's typically the sliced bread, or you do it from the corner.
No, this one was more impressive.
But yeah, this was more like Kalisto's Slater Del Sol kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was really nice onto the steps.
Really, really cool.
They go and fight their way over into the spooky set behind all of the people.
Graveyards and whatnot.
Johnny sees the coffin, calling back to last week's promo. He opens it up and he gets scared by a skeleton that falls out. And he just super kicks the skeleton.
He's so upset. He's like,
how dare you scare me? Dang it. Super kicks the skeleton. Spooky, spooky skeleton.
Funny.
They start to crawl. Johnny's trying to get away from Priest. Priest's trying to kind of get him back on the advance again. Johnny gets backstage and he managed to grab fire extinguisher, spraying it in his face. And then he kind of uses the stuff that's around there to do a bit of damage. He throws the mail cart into him full of boxes from all of their decorations.
He just smashes Damien Priest's head onto the metal so many times.
Oh, yeah, he does that as well.
So many times.
That was a bit more impressive than pushing a mail car into him.
The mail car was funny.
It was funny.
I was just waiting for him to pick it up.
Yeah, just make deliveries.
Yeah.
It was silly. We go back to the spooky set. Gargano, this shouldn't have been during the ad break. This was ridiculous. Like, there was two awesome spots in this, but during the ad break, which was silly.
Yeah.
Damien Priest had a crowbar. Yeah, it was Damien with the crowbar. Johnny got it away from him. I couldn't really tell because of the tiny screen in the ad breaks. But then he ends up doing a Gargano escape with the crowbar inside of Damien Priest's mouth. It looked
really
so good.
Disgusting.
It looked disgusting and really cool.
Yeah.
And it really shouldn't have been during the ad break.
Yeah, it was a shame.
But then Damien Priest gets out of that, and then he choke slams Johnny through the wall.
Another thing we should have gotten.
And we don't see it. And then they go into then they get rid of the small screen and go into full adverts.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Made me sad.
And you just come back and they're fine. It's like, what have I wanted to see? They don't even show a replay of it.
No, exactly.
That's probably my only issue with this match. This match was really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Johnny continues to try and escape again after he's in pain from being put through the wall. He climbs all the way up to the top, ends up by the wheel. The scary, scary wheel.
I wish he had reacted to it a little bit more.
Yeah, I wish there'd been a little more of the wheel. It was funny, but it was a little bit not as much as I would have liked for that stuff.
I would have wished him to suddenly like get out of his head and look and see the wheel on top of him and just freak out. But still.
Priest chucks the trash can off him, I think.
Yes, he throws the trash can onto
Gargano off of the top. And then Gargano managed to get back on top and uses the trash can, just smacking it.
Folds the trash can in half.
Yeah. But Priest managed to get back on top, teases powerbombing Johnny off the side of the set, essentially, into the little cemetery thing they have below.
Mm-hmm.
But Gargano manages to get out of it. He looks like he's going to do a big knee off the side, essentially.
Yeah.
But then Priest gets out of that. Priest looks like he's going for the reckoning. He has him in the positioning for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then a mystery man comes out wearing the scare mask. The scary movie mask comes out. And Ghostface, isn't it? I think he's Ghostface.
Ghostface? I think so. I'm not sure.
He comes out with a steel pipe, hitting Damian Priest, taking him off. Gargano then uses the wheel to hit a spinning DDT onto Damian Priest. Damian Priest. Oh, an Australian.
Damian.
and then the scary man walks away for a second, but he comes back, tombstone in hand. Johnny smashes Priest over the head with this tombstone.
Yes.
It completely disintegrates. It's really awesome. All the smoke and all the bits everywhere.
All the dirt.
Priest goes absolutely flying through the set and down onto the floor. It's really nice. They managed to cover, yeah. and whatever they did to make it safe for him, they managed to cover it really well.
Yeah, because it was like, it looked like a house. Mm. I think it was. They looked like a house. So when he went through the roof, they probably inside.
Oh, yeah, inside there was all the stuff to protect him. But they did a very good job of not showing it because they spent so long with Johnny afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Johnny manages to crawl his way over. 1, 2, 3. And we have our first ever 2-time North American champion. Woo-hoo. What did you think of this match, Raph?
So good.
Yeah.
I loved it. I think, like, obviously, it was incredible. I felt that the very beginning was a bit slow.
Hmm.
But then as it starts picking up, I'm like, okay, that's why.
Yeah,
like,
they have to hold themselves up yeah.
for the rest of the match because the rest of the match is just so violent.
Yeah, completely. They need to do that build to get to the position to be there. The match maybe was a tiny bit too long, but not like an issue too long.
Yeah, no.
But they could have probably cut
like an hour, I think.
Yeah, they probably could have cut by a couple of minutes off this, but it was really good. Probably better than their takeover match, in my opinion.
Yes.
Really enjoyed it. And Johnny Gargano, first 2-time North American champion. The only thing I find weird about it is that, so obviously in the main, we'll talk about the main event. We'll talk about the main event properly later, but we'll talk about the end of the main event now. So in the main event, EO manages to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't get the power couple. So it's just Johnny holding the gold and EO still has her championship. Candice doesn't,
mm-hmm.
which means that we're kind of back in the position where Candice is going to be Johnny's backup again, which I really hope they, which I think is an issue because Candice does really well and she does well. She does really well with Johnny as her backup.
Yes,
but like she spent so many years in NXT, just being Johnny's wife.
No, she deserves to have a place in the spotlight.
Yeah, it worries me that she's going to go back to she'll be more just Johnny's wife again because she's not going to be in the title scene anymore.
Yeah.
I don't see what she does next because clearly like Tony Storm, Ember Moon, all those people are kind of coming for EO. Candice isn't really going to have a place in that main event scene anymore.
Yeah.
I don't really know where she lands apart from just being Johnny's wife again, and I don't want that.
It makes me sad that we didn't get the power couple holding both of them the titles. Yeah. It was a shame.
I was really expecting the end of the show just to be you have them holding the gold and you have whoever the person slash people under the mask were revealing themselves and then you have the end of the night, but may as well keep it going. There was already a lot on this night. There were so many things.
Yeah.
It's a lot. We go to the commentary. Obviously, they set up last week. They were going to have a fancy dress costume off. Vic is dressed as Waldo. And you see Barrett and he's dressed as Barrett. And you're like, oh, he hasn't dressed up. Disappointing. And he goes, no, I have the best costume. I'm dressed as Bad News Barrett. I've got some bad news for you. Which is great. I love Barrett.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. It's a nice little callback.
Yeah.
Go backstage, see Cameron Grimes freaking out about his House of Terrors match he's going to have later in the night. He doesn't want to deal with it. He's very upset about the fact that Regal wants him to go and get in the car to go and be taken to Talos.
Going to
he's
the parking
like,
lot.
No, I don't want to.
It's scary in the
it's
parking
scary.
Lot.
I want to be in the ring. yeah, essentially.
It's really funny.
And then you get Pat McAfee coming out. I maybe would have changed, like, retrospectively, I would have changed the order of the show as well. Mm. Like, this is a really good show. I'm literally nitpicking. I would have put the Pat promo later.
Yes.
I would have put the Pat, because I feel like the Pat promo has kind of, for me, like, it's such a big deal. It's such a big deal, this.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's kind of got a bit lost in the night.
Yeah, I agree.
But this is such a big deal. Pat McAfee comes out with Oni and Birch, Lorcan and Birch, not Oni and Birch, saying that he's essentially just bigging himself up, saying how he's the best. He had a great performance at TakeOver 30. It was the biggest thing. The crowd and takes lots of cheap shots of the crowd and the fans. But his big issue was the fact that Cole didn't even say thank you.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything nice to Pat McAfee after they had such a show-stealing match to take over 30. Adam Cole just flexed over Pat McAfee. But then Pat was like, he wanted to deal with Cole and the Unspeed Era, but Pat was far too busy with his YouTube channel and his podcasts and all this nonsense.
All of his new businesses. TV show or whatever he was talking about.
Yeah, he's a very successful man. I'm not necessarily going to take it away from him.
Exactly.
He is genuinely too busy. So he decided to hire Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland wanted the car. He wanted the Mercedes, so Pat gave him a Mercedes. And then, so then he went out and took Adam Cole a takeover, but it was an expensive mistake for Pat McAfee when Ridge Holland got injured the following week.
Yeah.
So he went over to Birch and Larkin, had a word with them, and then Birch and Larkin, they weren't interested. They didn't want the money.
Mm-hmm.
But after they lost to the Undisputed Era in the main event, was it the main event? I don't remember. Probably not. In that show.
Yeah, it was.
No, because it was the week before. We didn't watch it.
Oh, I see.
So I don't remember where they were on the show. But after losing to the UE in the number one contenders match, they come back to Pat looking for that money, 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 sweet money.
Money.
Should have gone to Shane McMahon instead.
Ching, ching, bling, bling, goes the money. Sorry.
They say, and then Pat's like, why don't these two have mics? Give them mics. And then shock. The system.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly comes out because obviously all the rest of them are injured.
Yeah.
So Kyle comes out by himself to go and stand up for the era. Mm-hmm. Good old babyface Kyle O'Reilly.
Yes.
Really. He's good. It's nice to see Kyle getting a prominent place and like still getting this prominent place after TakeOver 31. Because obviously like he kind of got pushed into that match with Balor kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it was a great match, but it's lovely to see the Kyle still being treated like a big deal.
Yes, exactly.
He's
so good.
He's really great. He comes out, he's standing there staring them all down. They're kind of like, well, you can't. You're by yourself. You ain't going to do nothing. You ain't going to do nothing. Come on, we'll beat you up. Whatever. But then the Bruiserweight Pete Dunne makes his grand return to NXT. Ooh. Looking very buff.
Incredible.
His arms looked great. I don't know whether he's like trying to beef up to not be like
the Cruiserweight
anymore.
Yeah, I know what I mean.
But he looked great.
So good.
He looked really good.
So good.
He looked well very, done, very you. Good. Big surprise return. He comes out with two chairs. He gives Kyle a chair. Pat and the boys, they get worried. They go to the outside of the apron. Kyle and Pete get in the ring, stand their chairs ready to go and take out Pat McAfee and his boys. They need a name. Otherwise, I'm going to keep calling them Pat McAfee and his boys. but then Pete Dunne is slightly behind Kyle O'Reilly. And the chair shot comes in. Just like when the Shield broke up, the chair shot over the back of Kyle O'Reilly.
Pete Dunne
has turned heel. He's joined up with Pat McAfee and his boys, and they all completely wreck Kyle O'Reilly.
Yes.
Pete Dunne does his horrible elbow stomp. It was a really nice bend in Kyle's arm when they did it. It was really good. And then Birch and Larkin hit the double team elevated DDT onto the chair. Brutal stuff.
It was really brutal.
It was really
so
great.
Nice to have him back.
It's
so,
great
so
to have
nice.
Pete Dunne back. And it was a really nice like twist.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Pete Dunne is a lot better in this position than Ridge Holland is.
And he's also a very good heel. Like, it's good to have him as a
completely.
Heel.
Completely. And hopefully this elevates Pete higher in the card. It kind of was a bit of a shame. Well, let's see how they play it. Because if he's just going to be like a lackey to Pat McAfee, that's going to be an issue. Pete Pat. Yeah, if he's like a lackey to Pat, maybe it won't necessarily work as well. But I imagine Pete's just going to go around and wreck people.
Yeah, he'll probably go over to try and get them titles.
Yeah.
Dunne
versus Balor. That'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, exactly.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice indeed. But like, if we're building to War Games, which is probably what we're going to do, I know we can't necessarily do War Games in the Capitol Arena, but if they are able to find a way to do it, and it feels like they are going to, because like, there
just
is still...
remove the audience.
Like,
we don't need them for anything.
Yeah. It does feel like... that does feel like where we're going. Where we're going, UE versus Pete... Pat McAfee and his boys. But Pete Dunne returned, turned heel. Great
stuff.
Yeah,
it would work because it would be 4-on-4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a good match. It'd be a very good match.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
We see Grimes and Regal backstage. Grimes is, again, not wanting to go outside. He won't go to the parking lot. He's like, I'll take the loss.
Come with me, Regal.
Yeah. He said he'll take the loss. But no, Regal won't come with him. He wants Regal to come with him to the place.
Yes.
He goes outside to the car. Michael Hayes comes out of the car. I'll be honest. My only other complaint about NXT, we're getting all my complaints out. I sound like I'm complaining too much.
No.
But there's only minor things.
Pickies.
Like the sound, there was quite a few times where the sound quality was really bad.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't understand what they were saying in this promo. I couldn't understand some of the stuff Shotzi was saying later in the night as well.
Yeah.
So sometimes the music was not balanced properly. But
yeah. Yeah. Or the microphones weren't close enough to them or something like that.
Whatever it was, but it's life, whatever, it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Next up, we have Jake Atlas versus Santos Escobar. Very short match, nothing really to it. I kind of wish they'd held this off, maybe. Yeah. I'd done something else instead. I don't know what. But it kind of didn't make Jake Atlas look that good.
No.
I know they cheated to win, but still. But Santos Escobar wearing Rey Mysterio gear, really cool with the Halloween Havoc question marks and all that kind of stuff. Also a bit of a shame that Atlas didn't get an entrance. He was just in the ring.
Yeah, he was just already in the ring.
Yeah.
I don't like it when they do that.
No.
At least give them a short... I know when it's jobbers and stuff, but when it's...
You should give like the end of their entrance or something.
Yeah, exactly. At least a little bit.
Yeah. It kind of... Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. Santos pretty much owns the match at the beginning, tells Atlas that he's nothing and he won't ever be anything, which fires
just
Atlas
quit
up.
Now.
Yeah, just quit. Which fires up Atlas. Atlas fights back, gets back into it. He hits the cartwheel into the DDT from the top rope onto Santos.
So impressive.
It's a really great move, really awesome stuff. It's not necessarily like the most damaging of moves.
No,
but it's really cool looking. And it shouldn't. I don't know if it is his finisher. I haven't seen enough of Jake Atlas to know if that is his finisher. But if it is, then I would probably like that as a signature move and not his finisher.
Yes, because it's not that damaging.
Because like it's just a DDT.
Yeah,
I know you could say the same about like the paradigm shift, but at least the paradigm shift looks like it looks big when he hits it. Whereas that kind of it's just the cartwheel and then he just drops you.
Yeah.
But yeah, but Wild and Mendoza pull Santos's feet onto the ropes to prevent Atlas from winning. Atlas then decides to go and take it to Wild and Mendoza, dives onto them. They kind of brawl a little bit. I assume the referee is distracted at this point.
I think so. I didn't even notice that. I didn't
like this like end of the match was like really rushed. It felt like it was really quick.
I was wondering like how did they manage to do what they did?
Yeah.
Because I didn't notice the referee being distracted.
Yeah, I guess Santos was distracting him in the ring. It was all very quick, this bit. I looked down for like a second doing my notes and I looked back up and it was basically done.
Yeah.
But Mendoza puts on the mask and I assume it's the same mask that has the bit of metal in it that they've been using on the forehead. He headbutts Atlas. They throw him back in the ring. Santos hits Legado for the win. Pretty simple stuff.
Yeah.
Another DDT move, actually. There you go. Everyone has DDTs. We get a promo from Ember Moon hyping up the match for next week between Ember and Dakota. Should be lots of fun.
Yeah.
Making Dakota feel like a big deal, making Ember feel like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Should be really good stuff.
Yeah.
Next, we get on to the Haunted House of Terrors match. Ooh.
To be fair, if I were Grimes, I would be...
I'd be terrified.
Pooping myself.
Oh yeah, the makeup and it was great.
Everything.
They did a really good job.
Even filming it, I know it's actors, but you're in the dark and everything. They just jump at you. I would be genuinely scared.
Yeah. Well, the thing that shows you the most is even when they were back in the ring.
Yeah.
Like they managed that looked.
Creepy.
They managed to film it really well, and the actors did a really good. The actors / wrestlers did a really good job.
Yeah.
Being the zombies and everything, like it kind of shows there how well the makeup and everything was done.
Yeah, it was so good.
It was, I don't know whether that bit was live or not. I wasn't entirely sure because you didn't see like the commentators or anything during that segment because they made it all blue and all the smoke and everything.
I'm not sure. I actually didn't.
I need to watch it again to know whether that was pre-recorded or live. But so the Haunted House of Terrors. This is a very difficult thing to describe.
It was just weird.
It was very strange.
Good.
Yeah.
A good weird.
Just essentially Grimes going around a haunted house.
Screaming. Yeah.
Just screaming
like
every second.
If you're going to a carnival or something and you go inside the haunted house. That's basically what it was.
Yeah. And Loomis just peed out from behind him occasionally.
And just pushing him and kicking him and stuff like that. Like nothing like major wrestling wise.
Oh yeah. No, not at all. But that's not really it wasn't the point of this at all. Lots of silly stuff. Silly stuff. But Grimes is so
good. He's so good. He's so funny.
He is one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Especially one of the best in NXT. I really like him as a character.
I liked him from the first day I watched him.
Yeah.
On the ladder match. I was just like, yep, he's my kind of guy.
I look forward to the day where he wins that championship.
That
North American championship and he's just running around the place like screaming in people's faces about how he's the best and he's on top of the moon. I'm on top of the moon. And then he'll be absolutely terrified and then just be great. So he's such a good character. His character is great. He's a very
expressive, like, emotional kind of person.
And so is Loomis. Loomis's character is really great. And
it's so good.
These two characters gelled really well, and I hope they do more stuff with these two together, because it just works really well.
Yeah, it works.
It's like the two perfect extremes of all characters. But yeah, Grimes getting in the house, getting chased around, scary referees. Grimes gets all pervy. He sees a girl in the shower and he's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, hello.
I didn't know Loomis had a sister.
Had a pretty sister.
And gets in the shower and, of course, she's a very scary zombie girl.
Like the ring girl coming out of the TV, but instead of the TV, she had the bathtub coming out of the bathtub.
Yeah.
It was really cool imagery. Creepy.
He ends up, there's one point where she comes back again and she's in the corner of the room, but then there's also another her
on top of the fridge
behind him, who jumps down and off him. It's really cool. He gets chased away by zombies and he runs outside to get back in the car. Loomis is in the car, turns his head, Troy looks at him, Grimes runs off for the hills.
No. It's so funny.
He's the angry kitty cat.
It's just an odd cinematic match.
Stuff. It's a better version of the House of Horrors.
Yeah.
A more fun version of the House of Horrors.
Yes, yes, I agree.
It's a very similar thing.
Yeah.
Then we come back. We have Rhea versus Raquel. Big match feel. Really felt like a big match.
One of the best matches of the night, I would say.
Yeah. There was only like five. Four.
Yes, I know.
I would say this is better than Io and Candace.
Yes, yes. Personally, I feel that as well.
Io and Candace didn't. It worked for me at a point.
I'll say probably like Johnny
and Damien.
Yeah, then Rhea, then this, Raquel.
And then the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, really big match feel. Mm-hmm. They just rip into each other. Some massive slaps. Just a big slugfest, just chucking punches all over the place.
Just throwing each other. Which is incredible because both of them are so tall and bigger than normal. And it's just like, it's incredible. Like, the strength of them.
Yeah,
so beautiful.
They have very good chemistry as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Beth Phoenix compares them to Tamina and Nia Jax.
No.
Which is like, don't do that. No. Rhea Ripley is only just 24.
And Rhea is our baby girl.
Ridiculous. She is going to be the future of this company for years and years to come.
She's great. I love her. I just can't get enough of her on ring and everything and outside.
She's great.
Then outside the ring, like when she's like herself, she's very sweet and everything.
Yeah, really good stuff. Raquel catches Rhea Ripley from a cannonball kind of thing. just holds her completely still, power bombs her onto the outside. Really nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Rhea manages to do like this leg sweep into a really, really sharp drop kick onto Raquel. It's really nice.
Mm.
Raquel managing to do this big spinning power slam, just these big strong strength moves.
Yeah.
Men look really good. We get the tease of this massive superplex, which then Rhea manages to reverse, get out of it, and looks to be going for the riptide, but Raquel manages to get out of that and then just grabs her, does a huge suplex, tossing Rhea Ripley over the ring. Really, really nice. It looks like it's all about to be done. Raquel gets Rhea up for the one-handed powerbomb, but Rhea Ripley manages to get some head scissors, flips out of it, and then she manages to get the riptide for the 1-2-3. Really good stuff. The right results. Really nice.
It was so good. And it's so impressive to see, because you would usually see women doing these kind of moves and you wouldn't be as impressed. Because usually they're like, if you do these kind of moves, these moves are more like for men. Yeah,
these power moves, you need to have a lot of strength.
They're usually like men moves, and seeing girls doing it.
Yeah, like you see, like if you see like Zelina Vega doing this kind of stuff,
exactly,
it looks like rubbish because she
doesn't have the strength.
She does have the strength, but you'd be doing it like with a smaller opponent.
Yeah,
you're doing it with like people who are like 5 foot.
Yeah,
and like weigh nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So seeing two strong women doing it at each other is just incredible.
So we go backstage to catch up with Drake Maverick. Drake Maverick is dressed up as Hollywood Hogan. This was all just references to like old Halloween Havoc stuff.
Yeah.
He's doing an interview. This was another point where the mics were rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't really understand
what was being said. He gets stuck between the Yeti and the Giant doing the double submission hug thing, which they did. Then Dane comes out as the Shockmaster, but he won't fall over. He's like, I got rid of the thing to fall over. Mm-hmm. I ain't doing it, Drake. Drake gets a bit upset with him. He's like, it took me ages to make that helmet. Drake takes the helmet, and then, of course, he immediately trips over.
Yeah.
Just typical fun stuff. These guys are fun. I look forward to seeing more from them.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
We come back to the ring. Grimes has made his way back to the Capital Wrestling Center. That's what it's called. TWC. He makes his way back in. He's in the spooky cemetery set. He lies down for a second, then realizes where he is. And then out of the fog, there's appeared the scary gymnasts with all the flexibility. Yeah, it really was Thriller. It was the music video for Thriller.
Yeah, it was just very, like, impressive gymnasts.
Yeah.
Contortionist kind of style.
Yeah, it was really nice. Really, really well done, the guys who did it. We got all the fog. Grimes just shouting at them to get away from him, to get stuff and just get away.
It did look like a real cemetery for a second. Yeah. Like the way like everything was done. The set was really good.
It was really nice. Gets in the ring. Loomis appears in the fog. Some really cool blue lighting. It was really nice. Yeah. The zombie girls come out and they all come around Loomis. They start, two of them are hugging his legs and then they start to surround.
So creepy.
Grimes hits one of the zombies with a cave in randomly. The cave-in's a great move, by the way. It's a really nice move. The one that they were calling Loomis's sister, who isn't Loomis's sister, obviously.
Yeah.
The zombie they're calling, there was the one in the shower, climbs up onto Loomis's back. Loomis gets her up into a gorilla press position and tosses her into Grimes and then hits a uranage and then puts Grimes to sleep. And Loomis leaves Grimes with the zombies.
Yeah.
And the zombies all eat Cameron Grimes and the lights go out. And you get the end over the screen.
In like a Rocky Horror Picture Show writing.
Yeah, it's nice.
The blood and everything.
Nice stuff. Really good stuff.
It was fun.
It's silly fun. Yeah. And I look forward, and hopefully we'd get more between these guys. I'd like to see more between these guys. We get a Ciampa promo. It's really generic.
I was kind of excited at the beginning when he started. But then as it was going on, I was kind of like...
Yeah, it wasn't anything. It was really, really generic. And because like this is like in this promo, he's like, I'm going to go back to my title.
That's what got me excited. I was like, okay, he's going back into the main scene.
Yeah, like he's trying to make himself a big deal again. But like the beginning of this promo, like it's talking about how he doesn't recognize NXT anymore. The attitude has changed. Everyone's trying to reach for the gold rings. They're trying to go through the glass window ceiling, whatever the phrase is, doing their tweets to try and make themselves be as over as possible. It was so like generic. And then Ciampa saying that he's earned everything. He's blah, 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 blah. It's like, it was really generic and didn't have like the typical Ciampa-ness to it. And essentially, he's just saying that the first step on his way to the title will be Dream, and they're going to have the match next week.
And he said, like, oh, how does that saying go? Hit me one with your cast. Shame on you. Hit me twice with your cast. I will kill you, or something like that. It was just, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Didn't really work.
It wasn't great. Now we have our main event here tonight, Candice versus Io Shirai. Candice is dressed up as Sally. We're having the other half of the Jack Skeleton, Johnny Gargano, Nightmare Before Christmas stuff. They posted a picture on Twitter with their dog as the ghost as well.
It's good.
It's very cute.
So good.
Poppy comes out and performs for Io. For the entrance, we get the spin. We get the
spin the
spin
wheels.
The wheel, make the deal. And it is TLS. Not TLC, TLS. Tables, ladders, and... scares,
aka TLC.
Yeah, it's a TLC
table,
match.
Ladders and chairs.
It's a TLC match, apart from the fact that the tables and ladders have orange on them.
Yeah,
and there was a bag of limbs underneath.
And the tables had like the drawings.
And the tables had the drawings of dead bodies on them. That was it.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, it was disappointing with the stipulations, but it was
still good matches.
Still a good match. A bit slow to begin with this one. Pretty typical stuff. Yeah, they get the bag. I think Candace pulls the bag, pulls the table out from underneath the ring and has the bag on it with limbs inside it. Io gets one of the arms and starts attacking Candace, which is quite funny, to be honest.
Two of them, even. Yeah. She had both of them in her arms.
Io tries to put Candace through the table, but Io doesn't manage to do it. Candace manages to pick up the laptop on the table and smashes Io in the face, which was pretty brutal.
Really, really brutal.
It was nice. It was a nice little spot.
Yeah.
She sets up a ladder between the ring and the announce table to be used later in the match. There was a nice, they got loads of chairs out and yeah, they got weapons out, kind of getting, they kind of did a lot of getting ready for the end of the match.
Yes.
They set up two tables on the outside. They went and got a bunch of chairs in the ring. They set up the ladder on the outside. Yeah, they do all the typical stuff.
Yeah.
Get all the, everything set up for the end of the match, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then stuff starts to get into a bit of a higher gear.
Yeah.
Io has Candace set up on a big pile of chairs. Io does her walk over, walking out top, running for the moonsault. But Candace reverses out of the way. So Io just lands straight on this big pile of chairs. Io then manages to set up a chair in a seating position and suplexes Candace onto the chair, which was
really nasty. Yeah. I was worried for a second, and I'm still not sure if Candace didn't actually like.
No, I'm pretty sure Candace was fine. She landed properly on the chair.
Yeah,
she didn't land on top bit, so it's fine.
It's just painful.
Candace ends up in the corner with the ladder behind her. Io goes for the Meteora, but Candace managed to dodge out of the way, allowing Io to go flying into this ladder. Io then manages to get a chair and pincers on the leg of Candace. A really nice spot, like, yeah, very clever spot, not something I've really seen before. Pulls on the chair and then at the end just twists it.
As if she was like twisting a foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really cool.
It was a clever spot. Yeah. It's a clever spot. She tries to go for the tiger faint kick after that, but Candace ducks under the way, hits her with a chair shot, and then does a neck breaker through the two tables on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it happens, obviously Candace and Io, both of them are down. Candace is completely out of it. She's gone. Even though she was the one
out.
Even though she was the one who did the move. Probably wasn't her best idea.
Yeah.
The scary person with the ghost face mask comes back again, picks up Candace on their shoulders. And takes
like
them up
dead
the ladder.
Side, like a potato sack.
Candace is just absolutely dead. She's out of it. Shotzi comes out and prevents them from lifting Candace all the way to the top. Shotzi manages to get them on her shoulders and power bombs them onto the chairs.
Yeah. Candace is just like lying on top of the ladder, just completely
out of it completely. Yeah. Io manages to get back to her feet just when Candace realizes where she is. Io sets up a second ladder next to Candace's ladder, gets up to the top, but Candace manages to rake Io's eyes. Io is down on the floor, but she still has enough energy to stop Candace from being able to get the title. She manages to push Candace's ladder and Candace goes flying through the ladder on the outside. Yeah, it's a big spot. Big spot.
My poor knees.
Yeah, Io manages to get up to the top and she is still your NXT Women's Champion. Yeah, it was a good match. This one wasn't as good as their takeover match, I would say.
No.
This one wasn't as good. Yeah, it was still a fun match.
Really
it just
cool.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as it could have been, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But hey ho. All be.
I wish it had a different stipulation, as we've been talking about.
Yeah, I wish the stipulation stuff was more fun just generally during the night.
Yeah.
So the only question really is about who this scare person is, whether it be Indy Hartwell or whether it be someone else, potentially Austin Theory, because obviously he quit last week, having return, and you could have this like Gargano family stable.
Mm.
I don't really know where they're going to go. It'd be interesting to see in the future weeks.
Yeah.
I imagine it's two different people. I kind of imagine the second one was supposed to be Indy Hartwell, just because they took a move from Shotzi.
Yeah, that would make sense.
It feels weird because like they were the first one was like a big, like they were tall, they were built.
Yeah.
The one who took out Damian Priest.
Yeah, they're almost as tall as Damian.
Yeah, well, not like almost as tall, but they were tall.
Yeah,
Damian's a very tall man.
Yes.
And it didn't seem like they were as tall in the main event. But it was hard to get an idea. Really comparing it because you didn't really get enough of a view.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell, but for Shotzi to be hitting a move on them, it kind of maybe that one was Indy Hartwell and the other one perhaps was Austin Theory, and we're going to have two people join up to this stable. We'll have to see, but I'm sure we'll find out in the coming weeks.
Yes, yes.
Who they won't Ghostface keep
a secret for much.
Oh no, we'll probably find out next week. Yeah. To be honest.
Yeah.
But that is all for NXT Halloween Havoc. A very exciting show. Go back and watch it if you haven't seen it. It basically is a takeover on TV. Mm-hmm. Go and check it out. It's a lot of fun. And that is all for this time. And we will see you next time.